Okay, so Jess, why don't we then look at this disease a bit more and the science behind it? Now, for your story, you spend a lot of time with Professor Michael Buckland, who set up a brain bank to study CTE. He really has some revelations about the number of amateur and AFL players who've been confirmed to actually have it, hasn't he? Just tell me about the figures.
So we have these startling new figures from the Brain Bank that reveals that 33 Australian rules players have been diagnosed with CTE. Now, 19 of those are professional and semi-professional players, and 14 of them are amateurs. And they're people in their 20s, 30s and 40s. For the first time, we're sort of seeing the scale of the problem. And it's a problem that Professor Michael Buckland says needs to be urgently addressed, because we're seeing a lot of young people in this cohort of Australian rules footballers.
I think it tells all of us that there's a problem, that playing a lot of contact or collision sport leads you to have risk of CTE later in life. And it's a problem that needs to be urgently addressed.
And one of the sort of scarier findings about CTE is that you can get this not just from concussion, you can develop it from much less severe, intense, repeated knocks to the head over a period of time.
Yeah, it's a dose-related injury, and it's the silent hits that contribute as well as the concussive hits. So it's the sub-concussive hits. It's like the whiplash, the bumps, the knocks. They're the hits that don't lead you to being knocked out, but are doing damage anyway. So neuroscientist Alan Pearce is someone who's been studying AFL football players for well over a decade now, and he is very alarmed by what's happening and has been calling for change for a long time.
The concussion protocols do not protect against CTE. These are the small impacts that come into the tens of thousands over a player's career from when they start through to when they retire.
And he's very concerned about what's happening and what he claims is the inaction of the AFL on this issue.
CTE is a preventable environmental disease. We could have saved lives with this. The AFL does have blood on its hands.
Well, Jess, why don't we then consider the AFL's response to this? Now, it has been accused of not taking studies into CTE seriously. What has the AFL been doing when it comes to trying to get to the bottom of what seems like a crisis?
Well, they've been asked by the coroner to set up a formal partnership with an Australian sports brain bank. Now, this came back in 2021. Following the death of Richmond player Shane Tuck, who was a 38-year-old footballer who died and had a very advanced CTE. And the coroner back then said, please set up a relationship with an Australian sports brain bank to better understand this disease. And that hasn't happened. But one thing that has happened just in the last week is that the AFL has reduced contact in training, and that was a recommendation by the coroner that they do so. So they say they are going to do that in this upcoming men's pre-season.
All right, so you asked for an interview with the AFL boss, Andrew Dillon. Now, he didn't sit down with you, but you did get to chat with the AFL executive, Laura Kane. So what did she tell you about how seriously the AFL is taking this?
Well, Laura, like the AFL has for many years, maintained that this is an incredibly serious issue, that they're treating incredibly seriously, and that the health and safety of players is their utmost priority, and they're doing all they can. They've made more than 30 rule changes to protect the head and ultimately the brain health of players. They're saying they're doing all they can, and yet they still don't have this partnership with the Brain Bank, which is a really big problem. They say they are doing a long-term study into AFL players' brain health, a $25 million brain health initiative that they announced in 2022. They say they're in a pilot stage.
We're committed to a long-term study that includes brain donation, and we will make sure that we deliver that research program with the overlay of brain donation if our players want to in the safest way possible. And there, that's all being contemplated right now as part of our brain health initiative.
But they won't tell me when they'll be delivering any findings on that publicly.
But as you say, you know, Nick Loudon's parents, who we spoke about before, they didn't even know what CTE is. So what did Laura Kane have to say about that, about the AFL making players and their families aware of the risks associated with the sport?
Well, she said that our job is not to communicate the research findings of others necessarily. And she says it's not our job to communicate every single aspect of risk that you know exists in the game.
Our job is to govern our sport, and it's a shared responsibility, and it's a responsibility shared by everyone who works in contact sport.
And that really upset Kerry Loudon.
Risk is their responsibility, 100%. The risks involved in that game is 100% their responsibility.
Now, you've also spoken to other AFL players who have contracted suspected CTE. Now, one of them is Matty Robbins. Just tell me about him.
Yeah, Matty Robbins, he played for the Western Bulldogs. He played 146 games and he copped some huge hits. He even broke his neck during one collision and he was returned to play 3 weeks later. I mean, just extraordinary now. You would hope that wouldn't happen in this day and age. But he said at the age of 42, he could feel he was developing dementia-like symptoms, and at 49, he's very concerned about his brain health.
I don't want to go through dementia. I won't put my kids through that. So we'd rather come up with a solution, but I don't know what that's going to be, but I won't put my kids through that. I won't ever do that.
You're saying you don't want to live?
Yeah.
And he's also applied to the AFL PA's injury and hardship fund for a payment because he believes he would like to be compensated for what he's been through and the head trauma he's sustained from the game, but he's been knocked back for a payment. I mean, this is a major, major issue for the code at the moment, because what happened last May was the insurance market, the commercial insurance market, walked away from insuring AFL players for head trauma as a group. They think that they're uninsurable. Even though the AFLPA say they've got a $54 million fund, they won't say how many players have been paid out for head trauma as yet. They say they're still calculating the numbers. But the AFL Players Association maintain they're doing everything they can for these ex-players.
All right, well, Jess, given everything that you've looked at and everyone you've talked to, do you think we can be confident now that the sports administrators like the AFL are taking their responsibilities seriously? This is a huge sport in Australia, Aussie rules. We love watching it. We love playing it.
Yes. And coming back to Professor Michael Buckland, who is at the forefront of this issue, he says that more needs to be done. He believes there should be a CTE prevention policy being employed by the AFL. He thinks that more needs to be done from top to bottom of this sport. There are also experts like Dr. Anne McKee at Boston University who believes that kids just shouldn't be allowed to tackle until the age of 18, the age of consent. Kerry and Tony believe enough science has been done now that the risk should be communicated, especially to those parents who are enrolling their kids in to play AusKick and any form of the game. There's no time left to keep on exploring the link that it should just be acted on.
Let's stop this evading and saying that you haven't got the findings, and we're well past that. Everybody knows what causes CTE. Take accountability. Come and walk in our shoes for a day.
Jess Halloran is a reporter with Four Corners. You can watch her story tonight on ABC TV at 8:30 or see it on iView. And if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline 131114. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.